And another thing, you're listening to KPCRadio.com. I'm James. Today with me is my wife, Athena.
Hello.
It's a very special episode. It's the first time she's been on here with me. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
I'll try not to be so biased as to treat you so kindly. I'll try to treat you as meanly as I treat Robert.
I don't think that'll be a problem for you.
Oh, make that public on air for everybody. Thank you. Okay, so it's a serious show, so we'll try to keep it as light as we can like that. You have a few minutes I'll give you to tell your story. Today's topic is cancer, as you probably know from the title. My wife was diagnosed with cancer about a month ago now.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're going to talk about a few things healthcare related, and of course politics, because what would James do if he wasn't talking about politics? But first, Athena, you want to say a few words?
So just to kind of give an overview of what cancer I have. So about a month ago, I had some abnormal bleeding. I had to go for my yearly pap smear anyways to my gynecologist, so I went ahead and scheduled that. About a week later, not even a week later actually, about a day later, the doctor called and said, well, it's confirmed you have cancer, which of course my jaw dropped to the floor. It was cervical cancer.
Cervical cancer, and I remember we were in the hotel that day because you were away for work, and I came to visit you to make sure we got that call. And that call is as horrible as you would hear about from anyone else's horror stories. That call changes your life pretty much, right?
Yeah, everything changes afterwards. There's the AC and the BC, which I've heard people say before, but after cancer, before cancer,
right.
It's completely true. Everything, you look at everything in a different light once you are told you have cancer. So then I had to go to the gynecological oncologist, which they had to confirm that it was cancer and the size of the tumor. And it's funny that they give you a staging before they even know the accurate information. So they give you your staging. So my staging is stage 1B1, which means the tumor can be seen without a microscope.
Staging is how progressed the cancer is?
Correct. So obviously stage 4 is the highest stage, and you do not want to be stage 4. Hmm. But your stage can change as they do tests. So for me, last week I did a PET CT, and from that they saw that there was a light up on the right side of my pelvis. So that could actually change my staging to stage 2 or stage 3. So it's very frustrating because family members think, well, you have stage 1, it's really good, and you're going to get through this, and unfortunately it's just not accurate.
Yeah, it's only that we know about stage 1.
Correct.
We don't really know what's in there. We just have the evidence of what we have so far, which is actually kind of scientific. If you think in a way, scientists never are 100% sure of anything. They just have the evidence for what they have at that moment. Science doesn't change. It just gets more evidence. And unfortunately, that's where our cancer research is. You never know what cancer you have until they cut you open, unfortunately.
Yeah, which will be Friday for me. So doing the show is a good...
It's cathartic.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because it's actually a way to take my mind off of the cancer, even though we're talking about
it. That's funny.
So it's kind of funny. But I have that on Friday. So once Friday hits, I will know, because then after this, the nice thing, if there is any nice thing about cancer, for cervical cancer, if they catch it early enough, it can be removed for the most part with a hysterectomy or radical hysterectomy. So I am scheduled for a radical hysterectomy on Friday. However, once they have me opened, they could see that my pelvic lymph nodes have cancer, or even my right ovary has cancer. If that's the case, I will most likely need radiation and chemo and possibly not even get the surgery.
So that's even more of one of those days that separates your lives than the phone call after surgery, before surgery, apparently.
Exactly. And it's one of these things where you just, like, if they could say, okay, we're having surgery today, I would do it. I would jump on it and get that done. And at the same time, it's scary because everything's going to change after that day. So,
on Facebook, I've seen you've been doing a little bit, I don't know if I want to call it advocacy or anything like that, but you have been trying to get your friends to go to screening, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Once I heard that I had cervical cancer, of course, you go to Google, wanting to know what everything is, and you go to Wikipedia. And I tried to stay away from blogs because the information isn't completely accurate, but I did go to the CDC website, AmericanCancerSociety.org, and I found out all this information about cervical cancer and the preventative medicine that's behind it, and was very, very frustrated because I didn't know about this stuff until I had the cancer. So I wanted to get the information out there as quickly as possible to hopefully help a lot of my friends and family.
What friends specifically, age-wise?
So I have friends between ages of 21 and up to 40 and older. So I actually had a great friend of ours who was young enough to get the vaccine. So she actually, she went and she heard my story and she got to get the vaccine. She had her first shot of three, which is a preventative vaccine.
Yeah, in one sense, it's miraculous almost that there is a vaccine that can prevent cancer. And in another, it's kind of a kick to the groin there that you were just outside the range. Both of us were just outside the range for when it came out, which was, when was that, did you say?
So for the guy's vaccine, it came out as recent as, I want to say, 2011. For women, I want to say it was about 2009. I could be off by a couple of years either way, but it was... feels fairly recent, but we were over the age group.
It's like getting polio just the year before the polio vaccine comes out. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
But as long as you're getting that information out, that's what matters. Yeah. How are things going in other countries? How does this the vaccine and the cervical cancer, how does that rate around the world?
So when I went to Google to search for information, a lot of what came up...
Because Google knows all.
Google is the answer to everything. We know this. So when I went to Google, a lot of it came up was United Kingdom, which was surprising. And a lot of women, younger than myself, because I'm 31 and I have this, but there were young women who were 27 diagnosed with stage 4 cervical cancer in the United Kingdom. So when I looked at that, their limit for testing for cervical cancer is 25. So our age limit in the United States is usually 18 when we start getting our pap smears yearly. Some can go younger, which I did. I went every year since I was 15. But United Kingdom, they don't even start it till 25. And then if they have a clear test, if there's no
abnormalities.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Then they wait for 3 years and do that again. So the rate of their cervical cancer is very high, and they're trying to lower it, they being the population, the women who have had cancer, are trying very hard to get the age limit lowered to at least 20, which is what it is in Scotland and Wales, but they're going to be increasing that age limit to 25 in 2015, I believe.
Now, what I've read is that they have those limits because they feel that at those young ages, cervical cancer is just not that prevalent. Is that correct?
Correct.
And this isn't for the vaccine. This is for the tests.
For the pap smear test.
The vaccines they get in their teens.
Yeah.
So, in a way, if you want to compare, you know, two evils there, we still have the worst here in America because we're number one at everything. We want to be being the worst. That's number one at being bad. Yeah. And we have people like Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey. Now, I'm sure you've heard about them, correct?
Yes.
And funny enough, the things they advocate, no vaccines because they create autism in children, well, that came from a bogus study in England. So England's always right up there with us in the ranks for being stupid. So they are going off on these, and they've been doing this for years now, maybe a decade.
It's been about a decade,
maybe more. I know that study for the link to autism, the bogus study that linked vaccines to autism, came out in the late 90s, I believe. So they've been at this for a while. So Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey and other celebrities like that go around the country literally advocating for mothers, parents generally, to not vaccinate their children.
With something as simple as a flu.
Vaccine. Yeah, flu vaccine. Anything.
Any vaccine. Yeah.
And now we're seeing the effects of that years later because there are epidemics of things like flu, like whooping cough, which is something that you don't think is actually fatal. But in children, such things can be fatal, and some children have been killed. And not like in third world countries. I'm talking about here in San Diego. I think there were a couple children infected with whooping cough in a little epidemic. I'm not too sure if they died. I don't want to go out and say that. But I will go out and say that if they died, then I would hold Jenny McCarthy and even Jim Carrey, as much as an idol he was when I was a kid, I'd hold him personally responsible for those deaths. And I think they should be jailed, Fred. Do you think that's too much?
No, I'm right up there with you. I think it is so frustrating because people, you know, you said it, Jim Carrey was your idol when you were young. He's an idol for many. He overcome a lot. He, you know, from In Living Color, right? So, yeah. And now he's this huge star. He was interesting. And, you know, so to look at him and go, well, he must know. He has information. He has knowledge. I'm going to listen to him because, well, if Jim Carrey doesn't get vaccines, then I don't need it either.
Right. People listen to celebrities.
Yeah.
That's why they're in ads. That's why they're on the boxes of Wheaties.
Exactly.
And quick update to bring it in. 10 infants died in 2010 of whooping cough.
Wow. Thanks,
Thank
Nick.
Thank you very much.
That was in San Diego?
Or just in general?
It just says California on the Department of Public Health's website.
Ten infants. Well, there you go. Jim Carrey and Jenny McCarthy, I would hold publicly responsible for
murder.
It was
the highest in 60 years.
60 years. Well, it's a good thing that Jim Carrey was there, Jenny McCarthy.
Right?
Next time you see him, go ahead, slap him in the face 10 times, one for each baby. Thank you for that update, Nick.
And I'm sure they'd have a rebuttal saying, well...
Oh, well, at least those kids don't have autism.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, dead kids don't have autism. I'm sure that's exactly what they'd say. And this is the type of stuff I was talking about last week. Exactly the same stuff. The left has anti-science in a completely different way than the right does. The right wants to deny all science and fact, whereas the left just want to live in a fantasy world of unicorns and ponies, and they don't need disease, protection from disease, and the protections will give you, you know, autism and all these horrible things. And which is worse? I mean, which do you think is worse, Athena? Do you think a right-wing nut or a left-wing nut is worse?
Oh, that is so hard.
Yeah, that's a tough question.
They're both extremes, but...
But here we got 10 infants directly dead, right?
Yeah, so I think it's the nut who decides to affect people's health in a negative way. That's the worst nut, regardless of right or left. When they want to spew false information to gain their own popularity or whatever it is, that is the worst type of person in general.
And you just nailed it right on the head there. I mean, false information for their popularity, which brings us right to the right. Michelle Bachmann also specifically... tried to make women not take this HPV vaccine. Not so much because of autism. She said that, but I'm not too sure she actually understood what the word means. So she always had to throw in her right-wing religious ideology in there, because if you give these people a vaccine, well, that will mean, well, they'll have sex. You can't give a teenager a vaccine against an STD, because that's saying, hey, kids, we want you to have sex, right?
That was her thing, saying that, well, why would we give kids under 12, 15, because it's for girls, the vaccine starts because 9, and I think for boys it's 11. So her thing was
old. Dirty liberals want a 9-year-old girl to have sex.
Yeah.
You're a dirty liberal.
I am. I will. If it means they'll get that vaccine, then I will be a dirty liberal.
Arch.
So, because it's just so false. It does not, even if you tell a little girl, hey, we're going to get a vaccine for HPV, they have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
They have no idea what that means. So if something's going to happen, if they decide to be adventurous in their sexual life at
later,
whatever age, then at least they're protected.
Right.
But then when you have someone who's supposed to be very intelligent because they're wanting to be in the Senate and the office, people listen to her as well. I wouldn't say as much as Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey, but they listen to her because it's someone who's supposed to be intelligent in that position.
I forget what senator said it. But I have to look that up later, but he said this famous quote, there's no IQ test to get in the Senate.
Yeah, but people think there is.
People look them as the smart people.
People go, well, you got to be smart to do that, so I'm going to listen to them because they're my senator or they're my president or, you know, whatever it may be.
And this was years ago, too. Michelle Bachmann was saying this stuff like 4 or 5 years ago in the 2008 election, right? And she's still there.
Yeah.
And she's not like Sarah Palin, where she faded away into obscurity and you know, word salads. She's still in the
She's
Senate.
Still there. And people still use her argument to fight why they don't want schools to have it. There are only, I believe, 2 states that require the kids to get a vaccine prior to going to school, like you would get your normal vaccines. And I think it's Washington, and I cannot remember the other state.
That's pretty good. Well, of course, it's Washington. They're dirty liberals up there.
Right.
They're practically socialist. I think they just elected a socialist to the Seattle City Council, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so those dirty socialists can't trust them with their gay pot.
Well, they get the vaccine, and they have it mandated that they get the vaccine. So that I support 100%. Mm. And I wish that all states would do that, but hopefully at least parents can get the information to get the vaccine. It's a step in the right direction.
Okay. And on a personal note, because I know your mother does listen to this show, Seattle is nice, but I'm still not moving there.
It's
too cold.
You just said that.
It's too cold.
Yeah.
And you raise the temperature by maybe 20 degrees, bring it to Southern California. Just bring Seattle down here, where it's nice and warm. All right, so let's move on a bit. We're talking about the Senate. We're talking about stupidity, so that will lead us to, of course, Obamacare. Whether you're on the left or the right, you're going to think there's something stupid going on. Now, on the right, they're making fun of Obama because he made a promise, supposedly, however much a president can make a promise of something he doesn't do directly. I always love that. Now, he said that if you want to keep your plan, this is before Obamacare went into effect, which is not actually what it's called. That's what the right calls it. It's the Healthcare Reform Act?
I think so.
Now I'm the dumb liberal.
Affordable Care Act. Right.
I knew I was missing a word there. And so he said, if you want to keep your plan before this goes into effect, you want to keep it after it goes into effect. You don't have to change if you don't want to. And it turns out that now that it's gone into effect for a month now, that some people have seen their plans cancel. And now the right is going nuts that, hey, he broke a promise. We're losing our health care. This is horrible. And they're not looking at why these people lost it. Do you know why these people lost their health care?
I don't.
Because the law was specifically written to get rid of bad health care. You know, the kind that doesn't cover you.
Right.
The kind that has huge deductibles. And that these plans are getting canceled. It's like, I mean, I don't even know what to compare it to. It's just there's a law made. Okay, I think the good one was that there's a building, right, and it's not up to code. And so the city council passes a law that says, hey, all buildings have to be brought up to code so that they don't fall over. Or like when we lived in Florida, it has to be up to hurricane code, or in California, earthquake code. And so he says, don't worry, you'll get to live there. Once the codes are made, the laws go into effect, you'll still get to live in your place. Just the codes will have to be updated. But instead of updating the building, the owner kicks you all out because he doesn't want to shell out the few bucks to put in, you know the devices and things like that. That's not Obama's fault. And some people think that he was actually too generous or hopeful in thinking that people would not want to screw each other over. And maybe that's true. I honestly think he doesn't care either way. I don't like Obama. But if you want to actually give him the benefit of the doubt, then yeah, maybe he was too hopeful that people would not want to screw each other over, and that's exactly what's happening. The people who have the policies, the companies who make the bad policies, they know that their policies are now illegal and that they have to change them. They have to bring them up to code, but instead of doing that, they're just canceling them outright.
Canceling it, yeah.
And so what do the smart Republicans do? They're fighting for their bad policy. They're fighting to live in these buildings that are going to fall over in the hurricane and earthquake. And you look at these morons and go, why are you so stupid? And you realize that that's not a fair way to say it, because they're not really that stupid, as much as that's my first reaction to it. It's that they don't know those facts. They're told by, like you said, the Republicans or any politicians who just want to boost their popularity with misinformation, and so they're misled. And there are many cases of on faux news, you know, that wonderful nickname for Fox News, that they have all these stories of people who are outraged, quote, outraged that they lost their coverage. And then when the liberals, that damn liberal media, when they interview them and actually show them the facts, these people actually go, oh, yeah, it's a good thing I don't have that coverage anymore. Sign me up for Obamacare. In every single case, they actually turn around and they love it. So
that's not the news you hear.
No, it's not. Yeah. That's the stuff you have to read online, right, which is why you go to Google and blogs and everything.
Exactly.
You don't trust the news anymore, right? All right, I want to get a few more topics in here, and I know everyone's sick of me talking about politics. So let's talk about, we're both secular. We're not religious. We're atheist. So people have been offering us their prayers. And I've noticed two things about that. One, some people have my secular friends would say, oh, that must be really annoying. And the funny thing is the religious people who offer prayers will often do it with a footnote there. I know you don't believe in this. I hope you don't take offense. And the funny thing is, and I want to get your reaction to this too, is that I haven't taken offense to any of it, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I know what they mean.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I feel the same way when I have so many friends who have such a strong faith, and when they say, I'm praying for you, I know that they truly, that's their way of saying, I'm here for you. And so I appreciate that. That's their way of comforting me, and so I take that.
You know what they want, which is your health.
Right.
Right. There's only a few things I've heard in my life that are actually annoying. And that one of them was, and this wasn't even directed towards me, was God has a plan. That one always didn't like.
Yeah.
That one, you know, I mean, it's in the plan for me to suffer and stuff. That one I never liked. But, you know, basic things like, my thoughts and my prayers. Even one of my friends who's, you could say is, quote, new agey, not religious like that. She said, sending good energy. And,
right.
You know, I'm a physics major. I'm like, you're not sending energy. You're not sending me, you know.
But that's their
M
way
squared
of...
V squared 1 over 2. I mean, you're not sending me that. I know what you're doing.
That'd be impressive.
She'd have to punch me in the face or something. That's one way to send me energy.
I could do that.
But thanks. But anyways, I know what she means, so I'm not offended by it. So I don't know if I've surprised myself or if it's just surprising in general that I don't take offense to it and I appreciate it. It's just a few things I hear now and then by people. The funny thing is that the ones who say things that are kind of, I would say, offensive, they're the ones who aren't that close to me anyway. So I guess that's why they're saying the generic stuff like God has a plan. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, my biggest one isn't even directed towards prayers, but it'll be okay. You're going to be fine. You are
Yeah,
fine.
That's a totally different
Yeah, and that drives me insane.
Yeah, I know what you're, because they don't know.
Right.
But it's almost the same thing, because if maybe I am insulting the religion now, because it's wishful thinking, that's how I would categorize it. And they don't know what's going on. They know what they want to be going on. And so they just confront reality as they want it to be. You're going to be okay. And then just every step of the way, it's just more bad news, and they keep saying the same thing over and over again.
Each time. Even the news has been building up. Each time it's worse, unfortunately. And each time, it's okay.
Yeah, you can just imagine the same thing. Like on the Titanic, you know, there's an iceberg ahead. Oh, this is all right. We hit the iceberg. It's okay. There's water flooding the front. It's okay. We're going to be okay. The boat's under the water now. Oh, it's fine. We're now freezing to death. It's okay. You know, it's just every step of the way, denial almost. But at the same time, I wonder if they're not just saying it. I don't think they're thinking it. Some of them may be thinking it, but I think they're just saying it to try to be comforting.
That's most likely it, yeah.
I don't think they actually think everything's okay. They just don't want to say it, which they may or may not realize is actually making things worse for us.
It's worse, right.
So if anyone's out there, not specifically just our friends, I mean, if you go through this, don't say it's going to be okay to anybody. Just don't say it. Say something else. The one thing I feel that is universal, religious, secular, doesn't even matter what denomination of religion, not prayers, not it's going to be okay. Say you're there for them. Say, is there anything I can do? Do you need help with something at work, at home? Can I pick up your groceries? Be there for them. Say there's something you can do. Ask them anything. When they say, no, not really, you know, ask them again. Because sometimes people don't want to ask for help. They feel that they don't want to bother you. I mean, I know I don't tell a lot of people because I feel like I don't want to burden them with bad news. I mean, this is for us to handle. And of course, now you're saying, well, why are you putting it on public radio? Well, because it's a good show.
Because
Athena wants to get her message out there and wants people to be aware of these things about the vaccines. We didn't know about vaccines before we got cancer, and now we know about the vaccines, and that's backwards. It was supposed to be the other way around. We're supposed to know about the vaccine first, even though we were a little too old for it anyway. So that's why we're doing this. All right, our time's coming down to a close. I wanted to mention, we haven't really run into any homeopathy stuff. I wanted to talk about that, but
yeah,
we really haven't.
Not.
Yeah, no one's come up to us and say, here, drink this miracle water or anything like that.
I've read a lot online what people do, but
yeah,
no
everything's
offered.
Online. Yeah. Yeah. So we haven't had to deal with that personally, which I'm glad, because I'm probably, because ever since getting this information, I am, that's probably no surprise to anyone, itching to get into a fight, verbally or physically. I'm just itching for someone to just set me off. And so I can just imagine someone come up and say, oh, here's $50, give me $50, and here's a miracle cure. I mean, I just knocked that guy in the face. I mean, you're a horrible, horrible human being.
Horrible person.
Or an idiot. I mean, one or the other. I mean,
could be an idiot.
I probably shouldn't punch the idiot. So, but most of the time, I'm going to guess that they're just horrible, horrible human beings. So to, you know, right up there with, you know, like John Edward, who does the ghost talking thing.
It's the same exact thing.
To me, it's the same exact thing. Pretending you can talk to the dead, and pretending you have a cure for cancer or AIDS or whatever comes out. You know, horrible, horrible human beings. And one last note on cancer. And you're not supposed to, one of my creeds is you don't compare bad news. Like, there's a lot of people, you know, who you call toppers. Remember Dilbert,
the
term
toppers? Yes.
And like, oh, I have a Lamborghini. Oh, I have a Lamborghini Diablo 2010. And, you know, people just, they have to one up you in everything like that. I just got a new car. I just got a new house. I just got a new helicopter. And they always have to do it for bad things too. Oh, I just broke my leg. Oh, really? I have cancer and AIDS and I got abducted by aliens. They just have to one up you in everything, even the bad stuff. And I say, well, just never one up. If you want to one up in the good stuff, at least make a story out of it. But, you know, don't be rude about it. But never one up about the bad stuff. That makes no sense.
Sense.
Why are you comparing wounds like that? Doesn't make any sense.
Why would you want to win in something bad?
Right. So having said all that, I am going to go out and say maybe cancer is the worst disease. And I'm not going to say it lightly. I'm not trying to say everyone who has cancer is just, oh, well, they have it the worst. I'm not talking about they have it the worst. I'm talking about the disease itself. Because most other diseases affect you physically. Cancer affects you psychologically. It literally changes who you are.
Yeah, I'm not the same person I was a month ago.
Physically and psychologically. I mean, even if this is all taken out, people don't realize it's literally never going to be okay. You will have to be rechecked for this again and again and again for the rest of your life.
Even if the surgery is successful, for every 3 months, I will have to go back to the doctor.
Right. And of course, it makes you paranoid as all hell.
You're always looking over your shoulder.
You have a headache. Oh, brain cancer. Oh, it hurts to pee. Oh, kidney cancer. Oh, I can't breathe. Lung cancer. Everything now is cancer. This pen's not writing. Pen cancer. Just everything. I'm running out of time on the show. Show cancer. Everything is cancer now. So it changes who you are. It's a vile, vile disease. Thank you very much, Athena, for coming on and sharing
your
story.
Me.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. All right, you've been listening to KPC Radio. I'm James. With me is Athena.
Have a good one, everyone. Make sure you go to your doctor and get your tests.
Good, yes. Everyone make sure they get checked and try to get the vaccine if you can. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.